My dad, Pastor Salem, loved comforting people all over the world with his messages from God's Word. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour in our series on a few men of the Bible where we can take lessons from their lives. A viewer in Kansas expressed to us, "I listen to CWH every Sunday in my assisted living apartment to this great man of God, Pastor Salem. Even though Pastor is in his permanent retirement home, his recorded messages still come alive. I will soon be 97 and I need these messages. Thank you to everyone who contributes to this ministry so we can still live through God's Word by the preaching of Pastor Salem." And from Minnesota, we are thankful for your ongoing ministry. We have a home church that we regularly attend. However, we get up early on Sundays to watch Pastor Salem and crew. I know we have heard the sermons before, but it is a good reminder. We need to hear the Word more than ever. Now, let's join Pastor Salem delivering the message on Moses, a man whose body was hidden by God. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we just want to thank all of you for opening your doors and letting us to come in. And some of you are truck drivers, you open and let us come into your truck, and some of you in your fancy tractors and all of the rest. Wherever you are, we're going to have a wonderful time, and we're going to be thinking about the great Moses. There's so much written about Moses, and so we're going to be looking at him. But first, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 92, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that though you're the great God of the universe and that you have made all things and all the stars and all the universes, so many we don't even know, and yet you're mindful of each one of us, and you know our name, and you know our heartache, and you know our heartbeat, and you know our needs, and you love us, and you care for us, and we thank you and praise you for that. And so in this service, Lord, as we think about Moses, the great Moses, help us take lessons from his life so we may draw close to Jesus, wonderful Jesus, and trust him and love him. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Melissa's with us today. She's going to sing The Way That He Loves. And so God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
The way that he loves is as fair as the day that blesses my way with light. The way that he loves is as soft as a breeze caressing the trees at night. So tender and precious is he, contented with Jesus I'll be. The way that he loves is so thrilling because his love reaches even me. The way that he loves is as deep as the sea. His spirit shall be my stay. The way that he loves is as pure as the rose, much sweeter than he grows each day. So peaceful hovers the dove. I know there's a heaven above. To Jesus I cling, life's a wonderful thing because of the way loves.
Well, that's a beautiful song, and that's a beautiful message that Jesus loves us. This I know. And we can tell you, every one of you listening, I don't care where you are or what you've done, Jesus loves you. And he wants you to come to him if you haven't done so before. He wants you to come to him and receive him as your Savior. And if you've drifted away, he wants you to come back home. And we got a letter we're going to talk about where a person came back home. And the Father rejoices when that happens. So I love to preach because it's all good news, good news. But there's another part, of course. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you don't have Jesus, oh my, may God have mercy on your soul. So we trust that you'll love Jesus. Well, we want to share some of the letters. And I just thank you. We get so many letters. I think we get about 100 letters a day. And not all of them have messages. And some have just the gift in it. And we're thankful for that. But if it's a letter, we read every letter we get. And if you have a question or a problem, we try to help you with it. And so we just thank you for writing. So I want to share some of the letters. I get people, I think I'm getting as many people who want to hear the letters as they do the sermon. And so I got to be careful. I don't want to lose that sermon. Oh, my goodness. But here's a letter from Gresham, Oregon. And this is a gentleman that writes. And he says, 81 years have passed since I was born. I accepted Christ at the age of 10. I didn't think much about it. I led a Christian life until I went into the Air Force at 17. They were good old days in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Then one afternoon, I was asked to go overseas, went to Japan as a communication specialist. I fell apart then and sort of left God out. The Holy Spirit I could feel, but not much. During the past 20 years, I really repented. Taught Sunday school for 15 years. I can't do it anymore. I have COPD, and I can't leave the house very much. And when I read that, I thought of what Jesus talked about, the parable of the prodigal son. And that prodigal son was at home and happy, and then he drifted away, and he got into bad company, and he ended in a pigsty. And for a Jewish boy to be among the pigs was about as far down as you could go. And then he came to his senses. In the scripture it says, the young man came to his senses. And he said, I have servants in the house of my father's house that is better than this condition. I'm eating these husks as these old pigs are slobbered on. And I'm getting sick of them. And I don't have any tums. And I got to get out of here. And he went back home. And you think maybe Dad would say, well, you better get down and repent, and you better shed some tears, and you better clean yourself up. No, Jesus said, the Father was watching down the road, looking down the road every day, looking down the road, see if that boy is going to come back. And one day he came back, and it says the old father ran to meet him. Now, that just sounds American, but that was in the Middle East. And in the Middle East, the father never ran to the son at all. You ran to the father. You respected his age. But his dad took him and hugged him and took him back. And if you drifted away from the Lord Jesus, maybe you're like this man here, and you drifted away, and the Holy Spirit talked to him, but he didn't pay much attention to that. And then he repented and serving the Lord. You could come back. You could just come to the Lord and just say, I'm sorry for my sins. Then forsake them, turn from them, and he'll bless you and help you. Oh, it's the wonderful stories. Now, here's one that I really like, too. Fargo, North Dakota. And if any of you are listening and you're over 50 years of age, listen to this. I am in an assisted living home in Fargo. And she never did say how old she is. I think somewhere she said she was about 80 or somewhere in there. I live in an assisted living home in Fargo. This fall, I started a small business from my room. Listen to that. She says, I croquet stocking caps, pot holders, and walker bags. So I'm sending my tithe to you to use as you wish. And she said, I pray for you every day. God is so good. Now, all of you folks, if you're sitting home, now, if you're sick in bed and if you're paralyzed and all of that, we understand that. But some of you are able-bodied and you can get around. So serve the Lord. Do something for the Lord. And here she is. She's starting a business. And boy, I'm praying she makes money because she's sending her tithe to me. So boy, I always pray for all our people that they make good money. And so here she's making money. And if you think you're too old, let me tell you about Grandma Moses. Grandma Moses had to give up embroidering when she was 76 years old. So she took up painting. Grandma Moses took up painting. She became world famous because she made those primitive style paintings and had a good demand for, great demand for her works. And she continued painting until she died at 101. So what I'm saying is, as long as you've got breath, we need to serve Jesus. We need to do something for God. That's why we're here. And God bless this little old lady up in, where is it? Fargo, North Dakota. God bless you. Here's Jacksonville, Florida. Says, I tape your program every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on Daystar, so I won't miss it. I'm 91 and still play the piano for my Sunday school class at the Baptist Church. Thank you for preaching so honest and true. So you millennialists, you better wake up. Here's this dear saint. She's 91. She's still playing that piano. I bet she does a good job, too. That's what you do as long as you got breath. You know, God told Adam, he said, you're going to earn your work by the sweat of your brow until you go back to the ground, because from the dust you came and from the dust you'll go. There's no such thing as retiring from God's work. You can retire from the post office or whatever you're in, but you should never retire from God's work because you're here to serve him. Here's Alvarado, Minnesota. A most simple approach to the most wonderful message ever. God's love for the human race. You convey that message so well. God bless you is our prayer. And that's exactly it. God's love for the human race. God so loved the world, the whole world. But I want to tell you something. There's going to be an end to that love. When we die, and we're going to meet God. And if we haven't accepted his son, then like the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to have fall into the hands of an angry God. And God is going to be angry because you rejected Jesus, his son. He gave his son the most, all that he had. He robbed heaven, gave the best thing he had in heaven, gave his son. And Jesus died for us on a cruel cross. And then he died for us. And then we say, I'll have none of you. You didn't die for me. I don't care if you died for me or not. I'm good enough the way I am. You reject his son and you face the wrath of God. But until you die, you can always come to Jesus. God loves you. Here is a man that wrote to me from Oldham, South Dakota. And he kind of spoke to me. And this is what he said. I do wish you would soften your view on fathers that need to be dragged to church. In our family, it was my father that made sure we all attended and had Bible devotions with us. And that's the Holy Spirit really used that to speak to me. Because as I look back, every Father's Day, I just really encourage the fathers all every way I can. But then I'm talking to these men that won't accept Jesus, they don't accept Jesus, and I may be putting too much emphasis on that. And I thought, here I have four men, four fathers, right here in this studio, who love Jesus and love their family and are teaching their children. And Hank would make five in our group here. And so we need to encourage Christian fathers. God bless you. And the reason I talk so much about these men that are sitting there like a bump on the log is I get letters from their wives and they says, don't read my letter, but my husband won't budge. And then sometimes I say, should I stay home with him and not go to church? I always write and tell, go to church, go to church. And so from now on, we're going to say a good word about fathers, Christian fathers. God bless you men. Here's Mosley, Montana. I enjoy your service so much. As a little boy, I love Jesus too. I grew up and life happened. I strayed and I sinned. I have taken our Lord into my heart again and have been so blessed. Lately, He has guided my every move. We live way out in the Missouri Breaks of Montana. It's almost impossible to get to a church, so your program is a wonderful answer. Thank you, and may God bless you and your ministry with God's love. Well, there's a lot of these places in Montana, Wyoming, Western South Dakota, and we were way off of the beaten path too, and we lived so far out in the sticks you wouldn't believe it, but the sun set before it got to our house. Some of these people really live out there, and so we can bring the gospel to them and they can worship the Lord, and they're all a part of the congregation worshiping Jesus. And then we also have a little book, a little paper. We put out a Bible study every month called The New Song, The New Song. And this month we have our new song is entitled Seven Reasons That Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven. Seven Reasons Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven. And you say, well, yeah, you've been preaching. Guess you should get to heaven. You know, my preaching doesn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing. The whole thing rests on Jesus, taking Jesus, and you can know it. And so you write to us and get your pencil and paper ready. I'm going to give it to you in just a few minutes here, and you can get it. It's free and postpaid. Well, let's see. Here's Salem, Oregon, and they write, God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. So really got a kick out of that. He says, well, there's a lot of nuts running around, and they're not all religious too, but we want to be sure that we're bearing fruit for the Lord. Now I have one more I want to read. And this is a really interesting. This is from Aladdin, Wyoming. And I know this lady. And she is a rancher, runs a ranch. And here's what she says. Dear Pastor Salem, I'm sending $10 for 95 years equals $950. Your age is going to break me. I'm a ranch lady who has watched you for years and know you are a want-to-be bull rider. Prison Bibles are important. Thank you for helping all the including prisoners. Now, I know this lady, and she is a ranch. She runs that ranch. And she's got some men going broke around her running their ranch. She's making money. And she's just a great lady and a wonderful Christian lady and loves the Lord. Now, she says it's a want to be bull rider. And I never, ever wanted to be a bull rider. I'm a sheep herder. And I say sheep herders are smarter than cowboys because sheep herders never get on a wild bull. So, but I just want to thank this letter. I just think it's just a great letter. Let's see, I got a minute here. Let me give one that's just so beautiful. Morton Grove, Illinois. Today I said the sinner's prayer with Pastor Salem. Would you please send me the new Christian material that you mentioned? The sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? The sinner's prayer is simply this. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll forsake my sins. Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman taken in adultery. She says, go and sin no more. Forsake those sins. Walk with Jesus. Love Jesus. Then thank him. That's a sinner's prayer. Use your own words. Don't get fancy. You don't need thee and thou and all the rest. If you do, I love the old King James with the thee and the thou, but you just talk to him. Just talk to him. He loves you. So we want to thank you for your letters. And if you'd like to write to us, and if you'd like to help us in the work, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get a, you can send a gift on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. We got a gift from Norway just the other day. And you can send it, you can use your money, and it'll come in American money, and we can pay our bills. And if you want to get the new song, you just put down new song, S-O-N-G. Sometimes they say psalm, that's all right, whatever you want to say. And we'll be glad to send it. Now, we need to have your help because we are not underwritten by any church, organization, or corporation, and we're dependent upon God's people. And so you ask God what you want to do, what he wants you to do, and then you just do what he lays on your heart. And if you want to know if we're using the money wisely, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means that's an international organization. And they audit our books. They check our books. And they see exactly how we handle our money, if it's all above board. And they check to see how we use it and how what we spend it for. And they have endorsed us. We're a member of that organization and proud of it. So you don't need to worry about where your money goes. So I hope you'll pray for us. Hope you'll write to us. Now, those of you on shortwave, I'm going to give it to you again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you pay as God leads. Dear Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you for your support. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from Hebrews chapter 11, and if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, and starting with the 23rd verse, and this is a story about Moses. We're going to be thinking about the great Moses, and you know, they talk in the Bible about Moses and the prophets. He just stood out among head and shoulders above the rest, the great Moses. Well, this is called the faith chapter. And it talks about Moses. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iran. And oh, our hearts go out to those dear people. And maybe some of them are getting us on television or maybe on a shortwave. And we just pray for them. And they inspire us and they challenge us. And they make us better Christians by their wonderful stand for the Lord. God bless them. So the writer writes, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as on by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this man Moses, and we thank you for the great testimony he leaves. And he challenges us, Lord, to do with to follow his life example. And we're going to be seeing how he made so many stands for you and was so faithful to you. And so may that just speak to us today that we never become weary in well-doing, that we give you first place in our life and that we seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will fall in place and you'll see that we have them. We just thank you for the story of this man. And Lord, we're going to pray today for our brothers and sisters in Iran. And some of them, Lord, have been taken to be with you, and we don't pray for them because they're in your presence. They wear the martyr's crown, and they're in your glory, and they're rejoicing, and you're rewarding them for giving their life or faithful for you even unto death. But we pray for those left behind, that, Lord, that they'll know that you are there, that they'll not feel forsaken by you, and they can't understand why these things happen. But Lord, you told us that those who follow you are going to have to take up a cross. And you told us that the world is at enmity against God, and that the devil's going to persecute us every way he possibly can. And so help them to take heart. And I know, Lord, well, we know that you'll provide for them and care for them. And we're going to see them in heaven and personally thank them and tell them how much we respect them for their great stand for you. Now, Lord, we pray in our service today that you'll speak to many hearts, to those who don't know you, who've never been born again, who've never asked you to come into their heart. We just pray that this will be the day that multitudes will turn to you. And to those, Lords, who are, Lord, who are drifted away, help them to know that there is no such thing as the unpardonable sin anymore. That can't even be done because that could only be practiced when you were here in the flesh and you're not here. So the whosoever will may come. It doesn't matter how far down the ladder of sin they've gone. They can come to you. Help them to come. And then those, Lord, who are older, and maybe some not always older, some who are on beds of sickness, some who are facing great troubles and trials, maybe with drugs, maybe with something else. Just bless them with the gospel. Help them to know that you love them. You'll care for them. You'll help them. You'll receive them. They can be a part of your family. Give them that hope. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing, "How Can I Keep From Singing?" So God bless you, Barb.
Echoes in my soul, I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I'll cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? Troubled times. sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up. Sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. Sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing.
Well, thank you, Barb. And while Barb was singing, I was thinking about the psalmist. And the psalmist who said he was in a miry pit and he couldn't get out. And God lifted him up and set his feet on the rock and gave him a song. And I'm going to tell you, when you walk with Jesus, you'll have a song. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to break right and everything's going to be perfect. Because we have troubles and trials. Jesus says, in this world there's going to be troubles and trials and tribulations, but be of good courage, he said, I have overcome the world. So you may be going through hard times, but still singing. Because in your heart you have Jesus. And Jesus gives you strength, and he gives you peace, and he gives you joy. And maybe you're on a bed of sickness, and maybe you're in a wheelchair today. Or maybe you're a young person, you're caught up in some awful habit that's just going to destroy you and you're trying to get out of it. Just turn to Jesus. Take Jesus. Give your life to him, and then the Holy Spirit will come into your body, into your life, and he'll dwell with you, and he will never leave you, and he'll give you help. Oh, the gospel, the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I love it. And just, it's so real. It's not just a story. There's a million people have gone to be with Jesus that would testify it. And there's a millions of people right now that'll say, amen, that's exactly right. Well, let's see. We forgot about Moses. Here's Moses. He spoke face to face with God. Can you imagine that? That sets him apart from all other men. And that makes him immortal. Moses was many things. He was a deliverer. He was a leader. He was a lawgiver. He was a prophet of Israel. His life can be divided into three parts of 40 years each. The first 40 years he spent in Egypt. The next 40 years he spent in Arabia, in the wilderness. And in the last 40 years, he was leading Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. You know the story. He was raised by the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But however, when he became of age, he turned his back on the things of Egypt and became a follower of Jesus Christ. It's recorded in the scripture. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the sins, pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses, he's raised in the Pharaoh's court, and he turns his back on it and identifies himself with the Hebrew people, and he becomes their deliverer. So they have the plagues in Egypt, and finally, after some miracles and plagues, Pharaoh says, you can go, the children of Israel can go, you can leave the land, and you can go into the end of your journey. And so they left, and they came to the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. They came to the shores of the sea. And in the meantime, Pharaoh changes his mind. And he comes with his chariot. He's coming with his chariot and his horses and his men of war. And they're going to kill every man there and take every woman back as a slave. That's as sure as the world stands, sort of standing. And so there he is. And God says to Moses, he said, use your rod, hold it out over the water, and the sea will open. That's the Red Sea. Will open up a path before you, and all the people of Israel shall walk through on dry ground. And so they did, and the waters parted, and they walked on dry ground through the middle of that sea. And then here comes the Egyptians, hot on their heels, and they're going to take those people of Israel, and they're going to decimate them like I'm telling you. And as they parted, they also came through that pathway, through that Red Sea, on the dry ground. But God made the wheels of their chariots to fall off, and the waters returned with a rush, and every last Egyptian perished. The miracle of God, the greatness, no problem for God. And then from the Red Sea, Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness until they came to Mount Sinai. And here at Mount Sinai, Moses met God. Moses went up into the mountain. He met God face to face. And there it was that God gave the Ten Commandments given to him by God. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain getting instructions from God. And that's where we get those Ten Commandments, and that's why they are sacred, and they ought to be posted in every school and public place in the United States and all over the world. But they just throw the commandments away, and every man did that which was right in his own sight, like they did in the days of the judges, and it was a mess, and it was a horrible sin, and that's where America is, and that's where most of them, I guess all the countries of the world, are in the same boat. You can reject God, and you have no future. I'm going to tell you that right now. So they come, eventually they come to the border of the promised land, but because Moses lacked, because they lacked faith, the children of Israel lacked faith, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and then they come again, and the second time they come, but Moses has to stop at the border, because God says he sinned at a place at Meribah. He had failed there to give honor to God, to Jehovah. Twice he struck the rock that stood for Jesus Christ. And because of that sin, God says, you cannot go in with the children of Israel into the promised land. You can't cross the Jordan and go into the land. That must have been a bitter disappointment for Moses. But he didn't argue with God, and he didn't get angry with God. He bowed his old head and said, whatever the Lord wills, I'll do. And so he appointed Joshua to carry on in Moses' place. And he gave a beautiful farewell address to the people. And then he goes with God to Mount Nebo. And there's a peak called Pisgah. And from that vantage point, he can see all of the Jordan Valley, and he can see the promised land. But he can't enter it. And then he died. And St. Jude tells us, there was a battle over the body of Moses between the archangel Michael and the devil. And they contended for the possession of Moses' body. And why was that such a thing? Because the devil wants to take that body and put it in a place where people will worship it. And God comes, intervenes, and he has the victory as God always does. And that great man, just think of that Moses. So great that the heaven and hell fought over his body. Can you believe it? But always is the case, God won over the devil. And the Bible says that God hid the body of Moses in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, in an unknown sepulcher. And that's the story of the life of Moses. Now let's look at that life and see what we can draw from that beautiful life. The first thing that stands out is the beautiful way, the providence of God. You see the hand of God. According to the law of the Pharaoh, every male child had to be put to death. But the midwives defied they just wouldn't do it. They defied them of the Pharaoh. And so then if a male child was caught, that he should be put in the Nile River, placed in the Nile River, and there to die. And so you know the story how they made the little ark and they put it among the bulrushes, along the reeds. And lo and behold, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. And she comes with her maidens, and she comes to bathe in the river. And lo, of all of the reeds in that great huge river Nile, I've seen it, the thousands of them. There's one little baby in one little boat, little basket, and Pharaoh's daughter sees that and finds it. And she says to her maidens, "See what that is." And they brought the little basket, and the minute they put it in her hands, the baby cried. And Pharaoh's daughter had a woman's heart, and she took him as her own and took him to the palace and trained him in all of the things of there was. But you see, here is the providence of God. The pagans would say that was just good luck. The Christians will say that's the hand of God. And that's what it is. And let us remember this, dear friend, as we walk this, that same hand of God is over every Christian, every believer. And he says, "I'm guarding your life and taking your life, and I'm making you more like me, and I'm working out you as a witness for me." And just remember that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things work for good. And so when the things go to wrong for you, and they don't go as you planned and you purposed in your life and you hoped in your life, remember, God is there. God is at work. He is in charge, and it's going to work things out just right. Moses talks about the hand of God, the providence of God. And then he talks about the shining example of faith and shows us the greater faith. No wonder he's put in the Bible, in the chapter, the Hall of Fame. And this Moses, he stands out as one of the great men of faith, shines like a beautiful star in the sky. This wonderful Moses, living for the Lord, loving for the Lord, following him. And so we read of Moses when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose rather to be numbered with the people of Israel than he would the people with a great, great, great people of Pharaoh, who was a great and a mighty power at that day. And it says that he gave up the sins of the, he gave up. Instead, he saw the treasures, the pleasures of sin. He gave them up for a season so that he might walk with God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend of mine. There's always the devil always makes a sin look so attractive. It looks so beautiful, but the end is just a hell on earth. And just remember this. He could have been rich. He could have been a Pharaoh in Egypt, and he gave it all up. And why did he do it? Because, you see, he put the God first. He sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto him. What does Jesus tell us? You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. Whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And he says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, don't go the way of the world. The world has its own culture. It has its own mold. It has its own way. And if you get out of that mold, oh, they hate you. They despise you. But God loves you. Don't be afraid to make a stand for the Lord. And I think of these young people in high school. And I remember I graduated in 1940. Not this year. That was the last century. 1940. And I remember we had peer pressure then. The other gang is doing it and you have to stand alone. And I had a pastor named Paul Boomer, And he taught us to stand up for Jesus no matter what they did. And it made us stronger Christians. There was a group of about 8 of us. And we stood for the Lord. You cannot have God and mammon. You got to stand alone. And it calls for great faith. And Moses had it. And then this faith also enabled Moses to lead the children of Israel out of powerful Egypt. Moses never doubted that. The people would be delivered from Egypt. They would be to the promised land. And look at the crossing of the Red Sea. It looked like the most hopeless, helpless thing in the world. And he stands true to God, and it's opened up, and God makes the way. He never doubted God. And sometimes you can't see your way out, but you just leave it with Jesus. Do the best you can, and then let it rest in his hands, and he'll take care of it. And beyond the Red, then they crossed the Red Sea. And beyond the Red Sea, there was the promised land. And Noah believed it was there. And he was taking the children of Israel there. But, he brought them to the very border of that promised land. And so when we walk with the Lord, just be sure you get your signals right. That is, be sure God is leading. Be sure you read the Bible. Don't go against what Bible, the scriptures, what the principles of the Bible teach us. Walk with the Lord and then move out believing, and you'll surely arrive. I think of the Christian worship hour, how we started with one station and now we're all over the world. And we did it because we were in God's will. It was that his will that this should be. And here it is worldwide with television and with shortwave radio. And so God is telling us, you just trust me. And when you follow me, I'll see that you get there. I'll see you get there. And sometimes people die in the race, and they die in the battle like the martyrs today. But they're going to be victorious in heaven as great victors for Jesus Christ. And then the Moses followed God. He gave up the pleasures of sin. And there's pleasures in sin, but he gave it up. Warren Wiersbe talks about that. He says the phrase pleasures of sin does not refer only to lust and other gross sins. The phrase describes a way of life that we today would call successful. Position, prestige, power, wealth, freedom from problems. That's what the world has today. And it is there to entice us. And Jesus talked about the cross. And Jesus says that he's taking up the cross. He talks about denying self. He talks about following him. He says that none of these things are easy. And it was the strong faith of Moses that led him through and carried him through. And you can have that same faith, and so can I have that same faith because we have the same God. And when we put our gift, everything to God, throw the rest to the wind and just go with him and follow him. Moses, it cost him. It cost him to follow God. And it cost him all the treasures of Egypt. But he gave it up. But Jesus tells about a rich young ruler who had riches and he couldn't give it up. He turned his back on Jesus, went back to his wealth. But I like to think in my heart that when that young man got back and he sat and he saw, I saw Christ. I saw God. I heard the music of heaven in that man. There was something there. Steward, sell all that I have. I'm going to follow Jesus. I just hope that's true. Well, we know it was with Moses. He gave up everything. The choice was all of his own. God didn't force him to do a thing. He didn't. We're not a robot that he makes a few things and we go here. Or we're not just like something on a string, a puppet on a string. We can say yes and we can say no. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and wept because he wanted them to turn to him, and they said no. And God will respect it. If you want to, you can spit in the face of God and you can clench your fist in God and you can take his name in vain. And he'll let you do it all the way to hell. But if you want to, you can say, yes, I want Jesus Christ. I want God in my life. Because I'm going to tell you something. there we aren't anything unless we have God in our life. We are nothing but just a few little chemicals put together that somebody says comes to about $8 worth of, if it would be on the market, some sulfur and I don't know, the bones and whatever. It doesn't amount to anything. We are never great at in and of ourselves. We have to have God for that. Our relationship with God makes us as great and as strong as we are. Our relationship to God, to his plans, to his purpose, to his will, to thus we become great. We're only instruments in the hands and become great. We're only great because God's hand is upon us and we're yielded to him. There's only one way to greatness, and that is to yield to God, to yield to Jesus, to give your life to him. And he works in and through us. And when we trust God, well, we get what see what God can do. When we trust in ourselves, we're weak and a futile man. But we believe in God, we can do much for God. Come to Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. And then Moses shows it's always with his people. And God is with us in our sufferings. Take courage. Moses never faltered. He was with Moses and he will be with you. All the way from earth to glory, he's with you. And I know we hear from some people who are going through some hard times. Maybe they lost their spouse, is gone. Maybe the children are going bad. Maybe they're in a divorce. Maybe they're having financial problems. God knows that there's a lot of troubles and trials in this world. And the devil will try us at all. He'll never give up. But don't lose heart because God is with us. And he's going to see us through. And the end is going to be glory. Glory forever with the Son of God and the God himself. Oh, my gracious. Just think that somebody like me, somebody like you, just a nobody, and with God, we're somebody, and we're going to be with him in glory. But it's all God. It's not us at all. None of the glory goes to us, only to God. God says, my glory will I not give to another. And then finally, we want to look at Moses and look and see that God called out and he at last did stand in the promised land. You remember the story. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's called the Mount of Transfiguration because Jesus was transfigurated on that mountain before those men. And they go up there, Peter, James, and John. And while they're there, who do they see? Moses and Elijah. Now, Elijah never died. He was just taken to be with God. But Moses was buried out there on Mount Nebo. Moses is standing in the promised land. God brought him in, and he got to stand there. And he could see all of that land, and his feet were finally in the promised land. And I'm going to tell you, friends, when you accept Jesus, you may have some struggles in this life. And I think of the persecuted church. My heart aches for those people. And they're suffering unto death. And so you may have troubles. But oh, you're going to stand in the promised land. You're going to stand in heaven. You're going to stand with God. So stay true. Stay strong. And though you don't have to have a mountain of faith, just trust him with just all your heart. And he'll lead you through the troubles and the trials. And you're going to stand in the promised land. But the first step is you got to have Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. You have to have Jesus. Now, how do you have Jesus? As many as received him, Jesus said, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You accept Jesus. Ask him into your heart in your own way. And if you want to, you write to us or you call us. I pray with people over the phone to accept Jesus. I'll help you. And then you just accept Jesus in your own way or call us. And then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature. We'll put you on our mailing list and you get our Bible study. And we'll help you all the way. We are standing with you and you stand with us, and you need to help us in this work too. So get that address down. And those on shortwave, let me give it again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to look for your letter. And if you can help us, help us. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for the multitudes of people that right now are opening their heart to you. I pray that you'll just help them to have that joy of their salvation. And then, Lord, I pray for those who are on beds of sickness. And I pray for those who are aged and alone and lonely and weary. I pray for all of those. We pray for all of those who have troubles and trials, that, Lord, they just lean on you and trust you. And we know that you know who they are. You know their names. You have the hairs. Their heads are numbered. And so you will help them and bless them as they lean on you and trust in you. Help them to have a good week this week as we walk together with Jesus. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking for you next week. Be sure to write now. We got the number on the screen there. Write to us. We need your help. We need your letters. And if you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And the Lord willing, we'll all gather around the throne of grace next Sunday, next weekend. Maybe the Lord will come before then, and then we'll be all of us together around the throne of God. But if he tarries, if he waits, and he might and he might not, and it doesn't matter, well, if he waits, then we'll have our service again. And we'll use it always to honor Jesus, to uphold Jesus. He's beautiful. He's wonderful. He loves you. He'll help you. He's standing by there to give you all the aid you need. That wonderful, wonderful Savior. And everything we do and everything we say and everything we plan is always in Jesus' precious name, the precious name of Jesus. God bless you. We love you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.